So join now on the phone with Janelle Wookie of Wookie Films. For someone who doesn't know about the documentary, or maybe even doesn't know about the issue, how would you preface Treading Water?
So in 2011, 2,000 people from mostly from Lake St. Martin First Nation and Little Saskatchewan First Nations, which are both approximately 3 and 4 hours north of Winnipeg, 2,000 people from those communities were evacuated after floodwaters were diverted away from Winnipeg and into their area to kind of keep Winnipeggers dry. So they were evacuated and sent mostly to hotels in Winnipeg and throughout rural Manitoba, thinking it was going to be a 2 or 3 week thing. And now we are 3 years later, and they are still not home. And Treading Water kind of looks at the human side of the issue of this whole story.
How and when did you get involved with the project, and how did the project really get started?
Well, originally we shot the project over the course of the spring, summer, and fall of 2013, so last year. Originally, the project was going to be have a much narrower focus. We had heard a story on, I think it was CBC Radio, or our co-producer had, Jocelyn, she'd heard the story on CBC Radio about a hotel in Gimli, which had a few dozen evacuees from Little Saskatchewan, and their story was that, hey, check us out, we have these evacuees here, and they're actually thriving in our hotel because we have programs for them, and we bring tutors in, and we've remodeled our hotel rooms to make them more like homes, and we're accommodating families in ways that, you know, city hotels maybe were not. So we were going to do a documentary just about that one hotel. And for anyone who followed the story in the media, they know that this hotel, this Misty Lake Lodge in Gimli, ended up being at the center of like a huge scandal and a lot of controversy between this hotel and the Manitoba Association of Native Firefighters, which were the group in charge of housing and feeding evacuees while they were out of their homes. So when this media firestorm, when all of this controversy kind of blew up in the spring as we were shooting, we decided, you know, this is a way bigger story than what we bargained for, and we couldn't ignore what was happening and what had kind of blown up. So we took a step back, and we decided it would be in the best interest of all involved and as filmmakers to kind of take a broader look at the 2011 flood evacuees in general across southern Manitoba, who had been at that point stranded for 2 years, how this came to be, why this came to be, and to really give evacuees a chance to share their side of the story. There were newspaper articles and news stories all over the place about the amount of money that was being spent, and we would hear from hotel owners, and we would hear from leadership of the communities, we would hear from government officials, but very rarely did we really get a chance to see how all of this was impacting these 2,000 evacuees from these First Nations, and we wanted to give them a voice and give them a chance to share what they were going through. So that's what we ended up doing, and that's what this one-hour documentary seeks to do.
You mentioned a really interesting point in there about the story blowing up into something bigger than you had expected. I mean, can you talk about that decision to push forward with it, to decide to take on a much bigger issue, a much bigger story? Because I can imagine, or I would think that at least at some point, maybe there was the notion of, hey, this is bigger than us, let's take a step back.
It was tough because, I mean, it's what is considered a low-budget documentary production. So our focus was small, and it was going to be, you know, a totally different story. It turned into something that, like, we couldn't work around, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of felt we didn't really have a choice, and that we needed to do kind of the best we could to kind of tell the whole story in a way. And the idea originally, coming into it, seeing these people having been evacuated for 2 years at that point, we figured, okay, so we'll start shooting this spring. And what'll be great is that we'll be able to follow kind of their journey over the course of the next few months into fall. And the film will surely end with them returning home. And in the end, not much changes for them. They are, you know, obviously we know nothing much has changed. So it was a challenge to kind of follow these families, not knowing what was going to happen week to week. The story took many bizarre twists and turns along the way. But yeah, spending time with the families was really incredible to see how people adapt and adjust when, you know, they have no control over a situation. So,
listener, for you, just a reminder, I'm speaking with Janelle Wookie of Wookie Films. Treading Water, Plight of the Manitoba First Nation Flood Evacuees is going to be airing on CBC on Saturday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You spent time, and your crew spent time in the in sort of the wreckages from the flood and the homes of the First Nations people affected by the flood. And you also spent time in the hotels and the temporary housing where they were living. Yeah. What kind of feelings and what kind of energy did you pick up on being in those places with those families?
I mean, certainly in the hotel room, there was a sense of loneliness and isolation that people were feeling. They come from a lifestyle of a lot of privacy, but at the same time, being around friends and family constantly. So being compartmentalized in these individual little hotel rooms, and families were not just all put into the same hotels. Different families were scattered across all over the place. So the energy in the hotel rooms was quite down. And because it was so bad, a lot of people, as you mentioned, were home. They stayed in these condemned houses, and they chose that over, you know, being put into a hotel room. And there, the feeling was much different. People were at home, but they were living in horrible conditions, mold, really bad mold issues in the house, of course, and some people getting sick, especially elders and children who were staying in their homes, which were condemned, getting very ill. So all around bad, mm-hmm. bad conditions, and really tough to see people living in them that way.
The documentary talks to home and, as the title suggests, the plight of the flood evacuees. But the documentary also talks to the government's involvement with the issue. How did you see the government react to this issue?
The way that my brother and I kind of operated over the course of producing the film and directing the film, it was, we tried to not get overly political with it, just because it was so... so complex, and it's so layered, and it's fairly clear that it was mishandled. The biggest thing that we learned at the end of this whole project is that there is no black and white in this issue, as in many other issues of this nature, and so it was just a whole lot of gray, and it was very confusing for us as storytellers to figure out how we were going to present and unfold this story. So in the end, it's kind of a snapshot of all the gray, you know, mm-hmm. around this issue. So
The trailer shows, I mean, it's heartbreaking and it's really affecting. And there are parts within the trailer for this that that show pretty clear instances of racism and the racism mm-hmm. felt by these people. What did you see and how did that play into the story you were telling?
Well, for us, that was one of the biggest motivators, actually. When we would, I had set myself up a little Google alert for anything and everything that had to do with evacuees from Lake St. Martin and Little Saskatchewan. You would click on these articles online, and category, pretty much every time, there were a myriad of comments at the bottoms of these articles, which were filled with, like, racism, and it was absolutely depressing. But those kind of comments actually fueled the direction we wanted to take with it. It was clear that the public had a pretty bad understanding of what was actually happening and who was actually doing what. It was something that led us to make the film the way we made the film. And the idea was that hopefully this film can help enlighten the types of people who were making these comments. And we actually, in the film, we brought a laptop to one of the evacuees, and we kind of have her reading some of these comments and getting her reaction to them, which we thought was kind of the best comeback to all these people who had written mm-hmm. these horrible comments.
Pursuing a project like this and the themes and the issues, the people you've met, how does it shape what kind of projects you're looking forward to?
Like I said, the idea of the documentary was to help give these people a voice and help educate the types of people who were putting sort of racist comments on all these articles about the issue. It's difficult, though, because you never really can tell. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out what effect your project has had. But in terms of future projects, I mean, definitely we're very much entrenched in telling stories in and around the Aboriginal community. So I think we will continue to do that.
Just as a sort of final question, I'm really curious to know, are you submitting this documentary to other festivals around the country, or are you showing it in other places?
Yeah, we hope to bring it around the festival circuit for sure.
Great. Well, Treading Water, Plight of the Manitoba First Nation Flood Evacuees is going to be airing on Saturday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's produced by Wookie Films and Newman Films.
That's right, yeah.
Great. And Janelle Wookie, thank you so much for your time. And like I said, I'm really, really looking forward to hearing and seeing this story told.
Thank you so much for having me.